Let's open with prayer. Gracious Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day, for bringing us here to this place to worship you and to be in community with one another. We ask, Lord, that you would be here with us, that you would fill us with your spirit and with your peace that passes all understanding. And we ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to hear and to receive your message of grace, mercy, and love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I love it. Today's gospel lesson really doesn't have a whole lot to do with Mary, which we normally would see at this time of year. And it doesn't have much to do necessarily with the nativity of Jesus, but we get to see this side of the nativity that I think it's overlooked quite often, and that's this little bit about Joseph. We see him in this instance, and we see him a couple times later, but, you know, he's really not spoken of very much in Scripture. He has this, like, low-key personality, it seems like. Doesn't want to be in the limelight. You know anyone like that? Yeah? Yeah? I know a lot of people like that. I also know people who are definitely not like that. Joseph, I'm just going to put this guy right up here. That's Joseph. In case you were wondering what Joseph looked like, here he is. Joseph was put into this very strange, kind of sticky situation. Betrothed to Mary, who suddenly was pregnant. This young girl promised to be his wife before the wedding had even taken place, shows up pregnant. And she has this this excuse that says, look, the Holy Spirit did it. Yeah, I've often thought back to the times that I've wanted to use that excuse to my parents growing up. I swear to you, the Holy Spirit messed up my room, right? It wouldn't work, but it's fun to think about. He's set with this predicament, and the Scripture says that he's a righteous man. And being a righteous man, I'm sure he felt some great inner conflict, some great inner turmoil, some almost, I would say, torturous thoughts going through his head. If you really think about it, he was probably plunged into this realm, this kind of swimming pool of anxiety and worry and strain and wondering what he was going to do. And after he went through all of this thought, he came to a conclusion that he was going to dismiss her quietly. They're going to go their separate ways. He will have her life, whatever that looks like, and he'll go on with his life. That's what would normally happen, right? Being a righteous man, I'm sure he struggled very hard with that decision. Something happened. He went to sleep, as they do, and he had a dream. The angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said some words that I find strikingly profound and significant to us. The angel of the Lord said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do not be afraid. I think it was those words that changed Joseph's heart and mind. Do not be afraid. Mary's telling the truth. The Holy Spirit brought this child into existence, and when he's born, you're to name him Jesus. He's going to save the world from their sins. Talk about a significant dream, right? Yeah, that's probably one of those where you wake up and you're like, was I just in a different dimension? You know, what's going on here? earth-shattering. And it puts him into, I think those words rang through his mind. Those words ring through my mind. Do not be afraid. I'm sure Joseph went through a period of time where he had to disengage his heart and mind from all of his fears that had built up over that time of struggle. What could Joseph, what was Joseph so afraid of? Any ideas out there? What was he so afraid of? Huh? What people would say. I know the next question is, what would you be afraid of if you were in that situation? What people would say, right? Your reputation. What people would think about you. I wrote more. Fear of the scandal. Everyone likes a good scandal, right? Except when you're the person in the midst of the scandal. Yeah, no one wants to be there, okay? So the whole village, the whole town would have this, has this to talk about, and he would be in the midst of that scandal. Let go of that fear. Do not be afraid. He was probably just totally afraid of, you know, this betrayal that people are going to be talking about. His doubts, his loss of reputation, as I said. All of these fears he had to let go of. He had to go deep within himself, and he had to find these fears, and he had to come to terms with them, and he had to understand that this is so much bigger than himself. This isn't about him. Joseph had to go deep into the darkest parts of his soul to find these truths. That truth, that it's not about him. And that he has this opportunity to really protect, to guide, to mold, to bring into the world Christ incarnate, God with us, Emmanuel. And that's exactly what he did. He protected them, Mary and Jesus. He carried them. He provided for them. He walked with them. He gave to them everything that he had because he knew it was bigger than him. Of course, this line of thinking and seeing the scripture and reading it, and it makes you, one would hope that while you read scripture, it makes you kind of reflect upon yourself and what's going on inside of you. Yeah? And that's exactly what this did. I asked myself the question, what am I so afraid of? Well, the first thing that popped into my mind was, I am deathly afraid of sharing my fears. Especially with a congregation on a Sunday morning during sermon. Okay, that kind of, some people are just afraid of like public speaking. I'm not afraid of public speaking, but sharing deep fears is something that makes my knees kind of knock together at a fright. But I'm going to share with you a couple of them because doing so will, it'll make sense in a little bit. My deepest, darkest fear is the fear of failure. Anyone? No one's going to raise their hand. Oh, a couple. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whew. Not alone. It's another fear, being alone, right? I'm the only one who's afraid of failure. I'm afraid to fail as a dad. I'm afraid to fail as a husband. I'm afraid to fail as a pastor. I'm afraid to fail as a provider. I'm afraid to fail, fill in the blank. The only way that I can become unafraid of failure is to embrace the fact that I am going to fail. The chickens just walked by. Every time at this, every Sunday at this time. That's one of my greatest fears. And it's so involved and it's so deep, you know, it's something that I struggle with. And so I can relate with Joseph. I can see how he goes deep with it. He had to go deep within himself to find out what he was afraid of so that he could work through it and do what God was calling him to do. That's what we are supposed to do. One thing that I have been practicing over the last year is that, going deep within myself into the dark places, right? You all know what I'm talking about. You have them too. Into the dark place to see what is there. Some call it, what, the skeletons in the closet, whatever it might be, I don't know. And that's what I looked at. That's the one that you open the door and that's blaring at you. Failure. Digging deep into it and embracing the fact that I am going to fail. And that is okay. And then accepting that about yourself, myself, and loving it. For us to be able to embrace our fear or to fear not, we have to do such work. We have to do this shadow delving, if you would, okay? And to see what parts of you are screaming for attention, or what part of you is holding you back in your normal world, in your normal life. What part of you is keeping you from doing what God has called you to do? All this is kind of going through Joseph's head, right? All of this is going through my mind. All of this is truth. Nobody likes to do this work, right? Who here likes to do this? Yep, I told you. Yep, there's the chickens. Not something that I like to do normally. Doing this kind of deep, personal work. But the growth that you experience when you come out the other side is significant. It is significant. Far less worry, far less anxiety, far less caring what others think about you. Which is another one of mine. Okay. Joseph dug deep. And I really believe that this lesson of learning how not to fear is one that is echoing through the ages. Because as we learn not to fear, especially in this time of Advent, in this time of the nativity of the Christ, we get to see how Christ is working in our hearts. We get to see that by opening up the closet, the light shines in, right? And that light is Christ Jesus. That light is coming into the world to shed light on all of this darkness and to heal us from it and to save us from that. How many of you want to live a life that is fearless? Boy, to think of that, man, that just makes my heart sore. To think that they wouldn't have to worry anymore, I wouldn't have anxiety anymore, I don't have to worry, you know, what people think of me, or, you know, failure is just another chance to learn, right? Yeah. Yeah, affirm that for me, please. Thank you. Whew. For a second, I thought I was wrong. The light of Christ shines in and changes everything. It makes all things new. The nativity of our Lord, God is doing something new. Not just in the world, not just in our own hearts and in our own souls, but in everything, every aspect of the world, God has made new. So when you hear that message, fear not. Do not be afraid to make Mary your wife. Do not be afraid of failure. Do not be afraid that people might not like you. Do not be afraid, fill in the blank, you get the point. When we can embrace that message, Christ's light shines in and the kingdom is nearer. On Tuesday, we get to celebrate this light coming in to the world. We get to celebrate this light spreading throughout the world. I know many of you, probably most of you, have been to the candlelight services, right? And that's what that represents, Christ being born, spreading this light across the world, this light that changes everything, that brings out features in the darkness. Have you ever had that experience where you're like, I don't know, a kid or maybe an adult, in the middle of the night, you open your eyes and you're looking at something, and it looks like a person, but it's, you know, and you kind of freak out. You're like, what am I looking at? What is going on? And then suddenly, like, your eyes adjust, and you're like, oh, it's just my towel. But you've experienced that fear, that kind of gut-wrenching fear. Once the light reveals what's there, it's no big deal. That's what Christ is all about. Taking those things that are scary to us and making them really no big deal, shining the light upon them. I hope to see you all on Tuesday, 5 or 7 p.m. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your light, for bringing your light into this world to free us from ourselves, to free us from sin, to free us from the fear that locks us down. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to show us and reveal to us what things really are, so that we don't have to experience that anymore. Lord, we thank you for being the light of the world. We thank you for your nativity. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We pray this in your name.